That awkward moment of silence on the air when you realize you forgot two translations of the scriptures that you really wanted to have in this segment on your desk. Good morning. I'm Mark Zimmerman. Gabriel Collins is off this week. And Pastor Tom Repke is here. It's Bible study time. Good morning. Oh, hold on. There you are.
Go. Yeah, there's the red light.
Yeah, that's the right
one. So, you know, they make an app for that.
They make an app for everything.
I know. You didn't have to really get up and run. You just need to grab your phone.
I like paper and ink.
Well, we do. Yeah, it's useful.
I do. Actually, yes, you're right. I have. See, but I'd have to switch back and forth between screens on my phone.
It's such a first world problem.
I know.
Right?
It's Bible study time.
Good morning.
Yeah, for the 11th time.
Amazing stuff. This is great.
I know. Gabe suggested this 3 months ago.
Yep.
And we just kind of dove into it, and we weren't really sure exactly what we were doing, but it's really great. And now you are, I think, our third guest Bible studier.
There we go.
Or fourth.
The real question is, that assumes then that this time is awkward because you don't know. Does that mean you know the rest of each day? Sorry, I mean, right? Life is filled with
pastor questions.
Yeah, opportunities. Mm-hmm. How do you lean into it?
Yeah. So, you know what? We're going to invite Ryan Nicholson to come up to the table here. Come on, Ryan. I didn't know you were bringing Ryan along.
Well, you know, the issue was we actually had talked, but also, I mean, there's some things I needed to help bringing into the building because we're celebrating Gabe's graduation this week.
Right? I know.
And it's a shame she's not here, but so that's a little tease, Gabe, when you get a chance.
There may be a present waiting for you.
Yeah.
Just tossing that out there. Okay. Good morning again to Ryan.
Good morning.
Seems like you were just here a long time ago.
I think I was.
Yeah, you were. So, you know, my theory is, in pulling Ryan into this, more eyes on a passage of Scripture is always a good thing.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So what is the passage? Where are we going?
We're going to John chapter 9. And I'm one of these guys that I need to see the context so I can pull one verse out. But really, and I'm interested really is the sort of the pre-story is you said yesterday that, or Monday when we chatted, that John chapter 9 is one of your favorite chapters in the Scripture.
And Very much so.
I'd be curious to know why. What is it about that?
There's so little physically happening in all of this chapter. I mean, you just have people talking to each other. That's
right,
it.
Right.
And yet, the number of twists and turns in this chapter is really fun.
It is.
There's a lot going on here, and the humor.
Right.
I mean...
Yeah, John is really filled with, you know, what I call, I've learned to call the playfulness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in this story in particular, there's so many different aspects to it. And there's sections to it, right? But you sort of have to see the whole.
Exactly. Because, there's like at least four separate, or maybe even five separate sections in the whole chapter. Because there's Jesus and the man, and there's the man and the Pharisees, and there's the Pharisees and the parents. And, you know, it just.
Right.
It just gets, it's almost a sitcom-like story.
It is, which we don't think, right, of Scripture.
Right.
So, I mean, first we want to invite the Holy Spirit to help illuminate our eyes and our hearts as we look at this. So,
yeah.
Spirit, come and show us and see again, because as I was talking with Ryan on the way up, we forget that this book of John wasn't really a book, right? It was somebody, I don't think that John realized when he was writing that this was going to exist for a couple hundred centuries.
Right? Millennium,
right. And so it's interesting. I mean, even when you start out the first sentence, and as he went along, and he is Jesus, right?
Right.
He saw a blind man from birth. Okay, how did he know he was blind from birth? Right. I mean, just stop there. There's all sorts of things we can pull out, and then it goes on. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? Was he born blind?" And this is when I said on Monday to remind you. You know, this is the mindset of Job, right, and his buddies.
Oh, yeah.
Why was Job afflicted? Well, obviously, you know, you've sinned, and therefore, you know, that's why this has happened. And what's interesting is that, and I'm not a scholar of logic, but I do understand that this what's being presented here is actually Jesus is showing the fallacy in logic of the either-or.
Okay.
Yeah, and because he adds a third element.
Right.
And what is that? It's like, and this is where it gets complicated, And, you know, and we have to sort of struggle through it a little bit because there's about God's character. And so he goes on to say, Jesus said, but this has happened so that the work of God might be displayed in him.
Hmm.
Okay.
Right. Well, what kind of work are we talking about, Jesus? Because obviously you still have a blind man. He's still there by the side of the road and nothing has happened.
Right.
So what kind of work?
Right. And it's not because of his parents' sin or his sin.
Right.
Although ultimately all of our afflictions, right, come out of the our brokenness. All of our afflictions come out of the garden and come out of the fall. And so the reason why things are not right, things that we've had to push through, is because is the creation's groaning for things to end. So blindness, sickness, my soreness, is all, right. Yeah, not in heaven, right?
Right, right.
Someday. And then, you know, when we look at this, so Jesus actually, you know, resets their mind to say, okay, there's one more option you didn't think about. And really the reason why this is going along here is that God's going to do something. And then he leans into, you know, this amazing moment, which is like totally awkward, right? Where he spits into the the earth and the clay and rubs it in the guy's eye. Now, when you think about it, now there's actually another time where Jesus heals the lame man, you know, outside the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't do anything like that. He just asks the man if he... You have to get up and walk.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so Ryan Nicholson is joining us for the Bible study this morning. I didn't know he was coming. This is great. So Ryan, let's take a look at this right now, because Jesus healed people in a lot of different ways, right? Yep. I mean, sometimes he touched them, sometimes he didn't.
Right.
Sometimes he healed them from a distance, sometimes he healed them from right up close, face to face.
Mm-hmm.
Mud in the eye? That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
It is. And to think, just to think about what hit me when Pastor Tom was talking was how many, you know, you said about John didn't know when he wrote this that it was going to be shared for hundreds, thousands of years. Just think about how many times when Jesus says this is to show God's work, to so God may be glorified. How many times has this account been shared?
Mm.
And to think that I go to a quote I have in my margin here when you're talking about Jesus taking the clay, picking up the mud, and smearing it on his eyes. And then he goes. He goes. Jesus tells him to go. I have this quote from R.C. Sproul. It says, "It's easy to believe in God, not so easy to believe God." He believed God enough to go to the pool of Siloam and wash his eyes, believing that this, he's finally going to be able to see what everybody else is describing to him.
And now that I'm watching The Chosen, I can only imagine what that scene is going to look like.
Right.
When they put it on film. Yes. Because in order for him to get to the pool of Siloam, he's got to cover a little distance, mm-hmm. and somebody's going to have to help him, right? Yeah. Or he's just going to have to feel his way. I mean, do I turn right here? Do I turn left here? I mean, it's a ways to get there. But he goes anyway. And it doesn't say anything about hesitation.
Right, and then even when you look at the rest of the story, you know, pull back and get the helicopter view, we know that this isn't the only conversation that the blind man's going to have with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gets messy, you know.
Right.
Not just mud in my eyes kind of messy, right, but it's like all of a sudden now, you know, the Pharisees are not happy, you know. Right. And so they bring him back, the blind man, say, okay, tell us what's going on here. And then it's even the question of, was he really blind at birth, right? And even before we get that, the question is put to his parents.
It is Bible study time on a Wednesday morning. It is 7:16. It's John chapter 9 with Pastor Tom Repke, and it is about to get messy. And we'll get things messy coming up right after this.
Look on the bright side. Better days are coming. You've heard that for a while now. But if someone says everything happens for a reason, you might just lose it. Sure, people mean well, but it's almost like they don't believe any sentence should end in a question mark. And that piece of punctuation keeps popping up in your mind and in conversations. We get it. We've had our own questions. We'd like to be remembered for being a station who had answers instead of slogans, help instead of hindrance, and hope instead of hate. We serve a God who has answers and invites questions. He's the God we talk about. He's the God who knows, hears, and cares. He's the God who walks through the mess of life. You have questions? God has answers. We share the answers that mean something more. Your financial giving connects real questions with real answers. Real hope for the hurting. Real hope for those struggling to hold on. It can happen right here with your help. Heartfelt Radio 91.9 FM.
And let's take a look at the forecast real quick from Fox 8 meteorologist Andre Bernier. He says mixed clouds and hazy sunshine today. An isolated pop-up thunderstorm can't be ruled out with a high approaching 80. Partly cloudy tonight, mild 55 to 60, and tomorrow sunny and very warm with a high of 84. Right now we're up to 55 here at the studios of Heartfelt Radio in Barberton. It's Bible study time on a Wednesday morning once again, and with me this morning in the main studio is Pastor Tom Repke.
Good morning.
From Linden Road Presbyterian, and he brought Ryan Nicholson along with him. Ryan was just here last week.
Good morning.
Good to have you back.
Good to be back.
From Destiny Rescue. Okay, so before it gets messy, now that I'm thinking about the scriptures with my The Chosen brain, and thinking of these things in cinematic terms, I've got my NLT right here, and it says, Jesus told him, verse 7, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Can you imagine that scene?
No.
He's at the pool. He kneels down. Can you imagine how his heart must be racing?
Right.
Because Jesus, the man called Jesus, told me to do this. And I'm going to see. And he bends down, he takes water in his hands, splashes it on his face, rubs it in his eyes, and boom.
Right.
Can you imagine?
No. And I think, you know, when we look at these stories, right, the encouragement is they're all different. They're all unique.
True. Every healing
right.
has its own little unique.
And why drama this time? Right?
You know, I know. Yeah. Yeah. You know,
so it's, again, that playfulness of what's in the details. So even the idea of why dirt? Of all things.
Well, yeah, too. That
I mean, is it? Here's one thought. Just as a, you know, that, you know, we sort of talk again. You know, from the dust you have come to the dust you shall return.
Yes.
And so this idea that Jesus, you know, takes the earth, the clay in which the man was made from, as we read in Scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just this is interesting. And yet it's like okay, so you know, and that's why Bible study is so important because it helps us see God's character. Right, and what he wants us to understand about ourselves and realizing that each of our stories are unique. And so what may happen for one person doesn't happen for the other.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's part of the journey, too, the faithfulness that the God shows us.
Okay, well, Ryan, Tom has promised us this is going to get messy.
It's getting messy.
All right. Let's do it, Tom. Dive right in. Let's get messy.
So the blind guy comes back, and the people don't believe it. Right. So not only is he trying to, you're right, you know, trying to understand his own story, you know, like what I can now see. Right. So
the
what is that
time
like
ever in his life?
Right.
Right. Right. He's been blind since birth and we don't know how old he is. And then he comes back and people recognize him. They think, yeah, you know, it says his neighbors, you know, but they're not quite sure. Is this really the guy that was blind?
Right.
Can't be him.
Can't be him. And then he actually says, no, it's me. I am the man. You know, it's like it really is me. But then it doesn't just end there.
His entire countenance must have changed.
It had to.
Yeah, he must have been a sad, pitiful kind of figure. And now, all of a sudden, he not only can see, but he is filled with a joy that is probably inexpressible. He's never had a joy like this.
Right. And so, you know, and then, you know, and he just gives testimony, right? Gives a witness, as they would say. He says, I don't know, there's this guy named Jesus. And he told me to, he put dirt in my eyes and then told me to go wash, and I did it, and now I see. And so that's where I'm at. Now, then they want to know, where is this guy, right? And
right.
He says, I don't know. Which, again,
is, how is he supposed to know? He doesn't even know what Jesus looks like.
No, right. Yeah, it's all that, and then some. And I wonder if, you know, the idea here is, again, we, you know, trying to pull out of it. So what does the blindness represent? You know, and how is it, you know, when we talk about people who are far from God, you know, we got to talk about being spiritually blind, and maybe, you know, this is a, you know, for us to sort of pull out, you know, what's the application as we go along. You know, there's something about our own story and then even our own journey of how we come to know Jesus, and we're not quite sure who he is, you know, and so maybe it was at a Billy Graham crusade or Lewis Plow. I mean, whatever it was, we come to this moment of actually, you know, repenting of our sins. And but yet there's a whole lifetime of journey then that, that goes through that. And I think even in this short story, there's that reminder. Because, again, we'll see as he pushes into the messiness, you know, some of the, you know, the Pharisees are not happy.
Right. Right.
And they're the religious leaders. I mean, they're like the council. I mean, they're like the people who are in charge. And they think, you know, they're saying that Jesus is a sinner. But we know that in the stories of the narratives out of Scripture of when Jesus performed miracles, you know, not everybody, you know, believed that they happened.
True. And in this case, verse 14 tells us he healed this guy on the Sabbath.
That's the problem.
Which is why the Pharisees are probably not too happy.
Right. So that's the question. So why are they not happy? Well, the idea is the Pharisees have come up with this list of 39 things that you can't do. Literally.
Only 39?
Yeah. And so what was it about the healing? What was it about the healing? It wasn't the healing that they, it was actually, you know, based on just some deeper, what?
It was the clay, right? It was considered work because he was kneading the
dough.
The dough.
You're not allowed to knead dough on the Sabbath. Okay, that was one of the 39 rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus broke the Sabbath by kneading the dough, to forget the fact that he was healing this man.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's extraordinary. Forget that this is the Son of God who's accomplishing these things. I mean, it's like, really? And so the religious leaders are like, I'm sorry, you didn't follow protocol. You know, which is part of the problem with our culture, you know, our religious culture. Mm-hmm. You know, as one who's in a traditional church, I mean, I think I get it why our traditions matter. But on the other hand, there is a world that's so far from those traditions of understanding our liturgy and the beauty of what they bring. Right. But there's because it just seems like it's because we're not living it out. Because, like I said to you about the, you know, I hope nobody was wearing I love Jesus t-shirt at Cedar Point as they were complaining about. Right. It's like, please, for heaven's sakes. I mean, there's a story of the guy who pulls a woman over in her car because she's driving erratically and breaking the speed limit. And he's like, I just knew it couldn't be you because you say, somebody had to steal your car because your bumper sticker says, I love Jesus. And so your actions don't reflect.
Oh, yeah.
Going to mass. But that's the whole point of this, because people are looking at us. And so now you have this guy here who, you know, his neighbors now know, the Pharisees now know, and it's gotten more complicated. And so, you know, what does he say, you know, when he's brought in front of them? Verse 17, they turned to the blind man. What do you have to say about him who is open, it was your eyes he opened? And the man said, he's a prophet. Okay. Mm. So he's learning.
It's the highest thing he can think of.
Right.
The highest rank, I guess, you can think of.
Right.
Yeah.
And then,
because if you think one rank higher than that, well, he couldn't be that, could he?
Right. And we don't know what this blind man knows about.
Yeah, who that's Jesus true, is, too.
Because they didn't have social media. You know, there wasn't anything to really communicate. No newsletter that came out, a newspaper. You know, so it's only word of mouth.
But obviously his faith is growing.
Right.
But he's still not certain that this Jesus is the Messiah. Right?
Right.
He's growing in faith because he believed what Jesus told him, that he was going to go and wash and he'd be able to see. So now he's still, and is he maybe hesitant because of the questioning from the Pharisees?
Sure he is, because he knows he's going to be in trouble. Right. Because his faith matters to him. I mean, we're pulling some things out here that we probably think, you know, he's got some connection to the temple and that whole the Jewish ceremony.
Right.
And then that's the problem. I mean, the thing that frustrates me is, why isn't the leaders throwing a party for this guy?
Boy, that's a good question. Because, yeah, this is a celebration. This is something to be, this is a lifetime of waiting. And all of a sudden, he meets Jesus by the side of the road.
Right.
And he's healed.
Yeah, so then it moves on from the Pharisees. You tip moving, this guy apparently moves to the side, and they bring his parents in.
Which kind of bumps it up a notch, because now the pressure's really on, because I'm sure the parents think, we are about to get kicked out of the synagogue.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, then they really ask two questions. Is this your son? And really what they're trying to find out is, was he really blind from birth? Or is this yeah. just something else going on here?
Right. I think it's really interesting, because obviously from their reaction, they had never been in front of people like this before.
Right.
You know, so I can imagine how petrified they must have been to even be placed near a situation like this. It would have been uncomfortable to be listening in from a crowd gathered around, but now they're in the firing line of these Pharisees, and they must know, like I was saying before, if they make one false step in answering these questions, they're out.
Right. And so what do they do? What's their response? We don't know. Ask him. They plead ignorance, you know?
Yeah.
It gets even more complicated because...
we know his son, the parents, their son was bar mitzvahed, because they do say he's old enough to speak for himself.
Okay.
So... ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself. Ask him.
Right.
You know, something like that. Yeah. Right.
And so they bring him back a second time.
Yep.
You know, for another round. And they summon the man who's been blind. And then they start out. It's interesting, right? The first part of this next statement, give glory to God. Right.
Oh. Talk about instituting a little bit of guilt right off the top.
Right. And we know this man is a sinner.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he's broken the Sabbath, because he needed... clay and put in the man's eyes. And so he goes on to say, well, whether he's a sinner or not, and this is just, I love this line.
I do too.
I mean, this is beautiful. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but here's what I do know. Once I was blind and now I see.
You know, I just finished, along with reading the Old Testament this year, I just finished reading a book called Is This Anything?, which contains all of Jerry Seinfeld's comedy bits. And so I couldn't help reading that line. I don't know whether he's a sinner, but I know this. I was blind and now I can see.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bad Seinfeld, but,
but it's a
Seinfeldish answer to this question.
Right.
Yeah.
And John had never seen Seinfeld, right?
No, I don't think so.
So the way he quotes him here is just beautiful.
Right.
And again, it's the playfulness that we find in the scripture, you know, as we unpack it.
Well, here we are. We have reached John chapter 9 and verse 26. So the Pharisees have a couple more questions for this man who was formerly blind, and then he gets to meet the one who opened his eyes. And we're going to get to that right after we catch Andre's forecast. It's Bible study morning. Here on Heartfelt Radio's Mornings with Mark and Gabe, Pastor Tom Repke is here, and he is with us again from Linden Road Presbyterian Church, and Ryan Nicholson is back. Didn't expect him this morning, but I'm glad he's here for a little moral support here on this side of the table, and Ryan is from Destiny Rescue. Andre's forecast, then back to the Bible study in John chapter 9, coming right up.
I'm a writer, but you won't find my works in your local bookstore or online. I write scripts for radio programs to help people battle Ebola, HIV/AIDS, and other medical challenges in Africa. And at the same time, I get to introduce people to Jesus. I'm a scriptwriter for TWR. With programs in over 230 languages, we're reaching 160 countries with the gospel through radio.
Put the skills God has given you to work for the kingdom. TWR.org.
Well, good morning. Bible study time on a Wednesday morning. John chapter 9, our topic. Pastor Tom Repke is here from Linden Road Presbyterian. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Mark.
And a surprise this morning, Ryan Nicholson is back with us. Good morning, Ryan. Ryan from Destiny Rescue, waiting patiently, or maybe not so patiently, to go back to Thailand and serve the Lord there. Okay, Tom, so we're in the middle of a mess, and we're about ready for what is one of the greatest resolutions to a story that could have ever been written.
It is. Now, okay. But we need to just go back to verse 27.
Okay, let's do that.
The blind man has some more fun here. Mm-hmm. Sort of, he says, so in all of this, you've already asked me these questions. I'm paraphrasing here. He's like, so right. Do you want to become one of his disciples too?
Yeah, great line.
Which, like, didn't end well because it, you know, ends up getting tossed out of the temple. It's like, we're done with you.
Yeah, right. No temple for you.
Right, right.
Right. No temple for you.
Okay. Now, then it goes on, jumping down to verse 35, and this is beautiful here. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, I mean, I just, you know, searching for the one from the 99.
That he went looking for him. Yeah.
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 How did he find out? You know, I mean, again, there's this all these questions of how did Jesus know what was going on, and mm-hmm. how did he get word, and what did that look like, and even can you imagine when he finds him, again, this idea, he's never seen Jesus. He probably recognizes Jesus' voice, but to actually see this man who has given him sight has got to be amazing.
And then think about, I mean, he has had this day that he could have never imagined.
Right.
He woke up blind.
Right.
All of a sudden, he has an encounter with Jesus. He stumbles his way to the pool at Siloam and comes back seeing. He gets thrown out of the temple courts by the Pharisees because he doesn't answer their questions the way they want him to answer.
Right.
And he must be standing there by the side of the road just looking around thinking, whew, what a day.
Right.
I'm out of the temple. I'm no longer in touch with my own people, technically speaking.
Correct.
But I can see. And Jesus told me to do what I did. So what does this all mean? And then Jesus finds him.
Right, and you know, I can't help but think of, you know, Amazing Grace. Once I was once lost, but now I'm found.
Was, you know, blind, and now I see.
Yeah, you know, and the beauty of what that means in that moment. And so it's just like, oh my goodness. And if it was being, it'll be interesting to see how The Chosen plays that out.
Exactly.
Because,
yeah.
Because we're all visual, you know,
in such
an amazing way. And it's great we can live in these times. And then, you know, he goes on, and here's where it gets interesting. And I want us to sort of, the takeaway, the application is moving from a witness and a testimony to actually evangelism. And so that's sort of what's happened here,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the idea, he goes on to say, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man?
What a question.
Yeah.
What a loaded question. And obviously this, so I'm going to guess now, by the way that the formerly blind man answers, that he does have some spiritual upbringing.
Right.
So his parents belong to the temple, so he must know what the phrase Son of Man means.
Right.
Yeah.
And when Jesus refers to himself most of the time by that term.
Yeah.
And the beauty of what that means, and then he goes on to say, what, who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. Mm. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. And then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him.
Again, for this man, what a day.
Right.
What a day. Again, like we've been saying. Can't imagine how The Chosen is going to play this visually. But it's going to give me chills.
Absolutely.
I know it will.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and when we look at the bookmark, it's sort of here. So, again, Jesus, when he first starts out in John chapter 9, and he says why he's come to do this, right?
Right.
Is to show that the works of God may be displayed. He also said there in verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. So even in our conversation on Monday, when you were talking about Nehemiah and Ezra and Esther,
Right.
You know, the idea of the theology of work, there's things that have to be done. And I guess that's the point that, and I don't know if this is a, as I've been just trying to think about just where we find ourselves culturally today, you know, there's lots of folks that give witness to Christ,
mm-hmm.
but the idea of actually believing in him and having their lives transformed by him, I think that's the difficulty. And I'm not sure that evangelism and witnessing are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of actually, and so Jesus sort of, he gives the gospel, if you will, at this point, the hope that comes in knowing who Jesus is, because he invites him into that personal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gone from just a cursory knowledge of he's a prophet, you know, or he thinks he knows who he is. And again, we don't know his training, what he's been experienced, but we're going to guess, you know, that obviously the temple and the religious life was part of his lively, you know, his life with his family. At the same time, it's just amazing to see that, and to be reminded that we there are people, and this is why I just took this as an extension of what I was preaching through on Sunday, is that we really have, you know, our stories, each of our stories are powerful to be able to lead into helping other people see. But that's only a moment to be able to say then, because for the blind man, once he was blind, now he sees. Okay, and what difference did that make in his life? Or even in our own stories of, you know, who I was before Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What happened when I met Jesus, and then how is my life different because of that relationship?
Amen.
Right.
You know, it's interesting because the chapter as a happy, wonderful story of Jesus and this man could have ended at verse 38, but it doesn't end. There are three more verses. Very interesting.
Right. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's sit on that one for a moment.
Yeah.
Right? Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind to?
Don't ask a question that you don't want the answer to.
And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains.
The wordplay again in this chapter is so good.
Right. I mean, and so the idea of once you know, you can't unknow.
Right.
And so the religious leaders, again, you know, and I think we all want systems and processes in our religious faith, but, you know, you think about, okay, why is it 39 rules? Why isn't it 38 or 40?
Right.
And who came up with that, right? I mean, and just the idea, and really, it seems like every time we talk, I always want to go back to this thread that it's really about intimacy with God, mm-hmm. walking with him. And if I'm walking with him and having that relationship with Jesus, then things flow out of that. Our wives go on a mission trip and come back and, you know, it wrecks your life, but it builds the kingdom. And it's like, even for this man, you think about it, he wasn't looking for, and then, you know, I always wonder after you read these stories, okay, so what's the aftermath, you know? So you're thinking about what's the relationship now with his parents and all those kinds of things. But again, it's, I guess, to be able to say clearly, the testimony is not the gospel. And so he's walked through this, and then when he finally meets Jesus face to face, he moves to a much deeper level. And I think that's the part that where the gospel is offered to him. Because when Jesus says, the Son of Man, which has all sorts of loaded context.
Something I just noticed. I don't know how many times I have read this story, and I didn't notice this until just now. So I'm calling a 30-second timeout.
Okay.
And we're going back to the beginning.
Okay.
So many times when people want to see Jesus, they are calling out to him. Son of David, come and heal me. Son of David, is that you? You know, and they're, come on, he wants to see you. You know, that kind of thing. In this chapter, the man born blind never calls out to Jesus.
Right.
He doesn't call for him to come over. It's because the disciples notice him, and so Jesus zeroes in on him. So it's not like he knew Jesus was coming, and he was waiting there by the side of the road for 24, 36 hours
right.
for him to pass? Wow. he found him.
And it's beautiful, and I think that's why I love John's gospel, as I said Mondays. It's such a different take on things, you know, that John pulls out these amazing stories in such a poetic way, and playfully, too, to get us to see it. I was once blind, now I see. It's like, oh, okay. I don't know anything else other than that, and that's right. Life-changing. But then it's, you know, a lifetime then going forward of, you know, how the Holy Spirit works, and coming up on, you know, Pentecost Sunday here, you know.
True, yeah.
Celebration of what that means for us as followers of Jesus.
Pastor Tom Repke has been with us for Bible study this morning. Tom, can you pray us out of this one and just kind of get us, before we jump into every busy thing that this Wednesday has for each one of us, just give us one more thing to think about as we pray.
Let's pray. Father, we know that becoming a follower of Jesus doesn't take deep knowledge. It takes just that personal encounter. And so for each of us this morning, I would pray that we'd be reminded of that as the sun's come up and give us another beautiful day of what you've offered us, the breath that we breathe. But in the moments we have today, let us not miss the opportunities to share our story with others, to give testimony, to be able to say, I was once blind, but now I see. And that's all that matters, and that Jesus can do the same thing for you. So Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd help us in those encounters, and you'd seal us for the process and give us the moments to bring glory to you in all things. And we just thank you for that through the power of Jesus and his ascension and resurrection. In his name, amen.
Amen. And amen. Pastor Tom Repke from Linden Road Presbyterian. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You can't leave.
Okay.
I've got a news story that I found yesterday at the Canton Repository's website.
Okay.
It is something we have kind of touched upon in one of your previous visits, and I knew you'd be interested in this story.
Okay.
So hold that chair.
Well, we will.
Thank you. Okay. Very good. We're going to check Andre's forecast. We'll hear from Dave Zanotti on the public square coming right up.
It's the size of a business card, which makes it easy to keep with you in your wallet, your purse, or your shirt pocket. It's a great way to invite your friends, family, and the people God puts in your path to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the Heartfelt Radio Invitation to Listen card. Hand one to someone you know or someone you don't know. They'll learn how to listen to Heartfelt Radio on air and online. Request a supply of cards for your church, small group, and to carry with you on your travels around Northeast Ohio. Send an email to contactus@heartfeltradio.org. Be sure to include your name and address, and we'll send the colorful cards your way so you can use them to direct new listeners our way. Send your name and address to contactus@heartfeltradio.org to request the Heartfelt Radio Invitation to Listen cards today.
Fox 8 meteorologist Andre Bernier says mixed clouds, hazy sunshine, and isolated pop-up thunderstorm can't be ruled out. High approaching 80. Tonight, partly cloudy and mild, 55 to 60. And then tomorrow, almost summer-like. Sunny and very warm, and a high of 84 expected. Right now, we're already up to 58 degrees with clear to partly cloudy skies here at the studios of Heartfelt Radio in Barberton. Good morning, 7:46. Good morning, 7:48. A little more time this morning with our friend Pastor Tom Repke from Linden Road Presbyterian. Well, Tom, we're going into overtime.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. We have talked about this topic and kind of glanced on it a little bit from time to time when you've been here. And this story showed up yesterday in the Canton Repository, and I thought you'd find it interesting. It's from Stark County. Lexington United Methodist Church was born when James Monroe, a co-writer of the Constitution, was president. Lexington United Methodist traces its roots back to a camp meeting in Deerfield in 1819 and is Stark County's oldest Methodist congregation, and now is going to be the latest to close. Mm. The final service will be at 11 a.m. on May 30th. Attendance is now 6 regular members. Joyce Buchanan, church treasurer, noted that their church organist, Miriam Hendershot, age 93, has played there for 80 years.
Amazing.
Hendershot will lead three songs at the final service. We have talked about this story, well, not necessarily this story, but stories like it, because I know that your congregation is facing these same kinds of issues.
It is.
Yeah.
Along with many, and I think, and it's not just traditional, and I think even post-COVID, you know, the idea.
Yes. And so I think that's where I wanted to go, because we're going to now step boldly, I guess, on June 2nd into a post-pandemic world. And some of our churches are going to maybe be in this situation. Maybe not this drastic. Maybe not six regular members, but maybe fewer than were ever there before.
Right. I mean, that's what all the things I'm tracking, you know, at a national level, that, you know, yeah, we've already reopened, but people are not coming back at the same level, partly because, in one sense, people like, you know, pajamas and church. You know,
so right.
It's at their kitchen coffee table. And the whole digital presence is interesting, how to leverage that. But I think, you know, and even the idea when we read through John, like we just did, I mean, you know, we want to build these systems. And I get it, you know, like even for Linden Road, we've done more ministry, I think, in the last year in some ways in our community than we have in years past, and we've done it not in our building.
Hmm.
And so the struggles of that, we've got a facility that we really don't need at the level that we did back in the 50s and 60s when all these great churches, you know, came online, you know, with their Sunday school rooms and,
yes,
you know, family life centers and all that. And I'm going to guess, you know, Ryan and I were talking about this way on the way up. He's in the construction trade, and it's, you know, things are going to be different going forward because, one, people are more comfortable working from home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has an impact on the church. Now, the message is still there, the hope of the gospel and all that, we need to communicate it. But I think our reluctance to change, we expect people. So what we've just finished up at the church is a series, and I'm borrowing it from a book by Dave Ferguson, who's in outside of Chicago. There's a book called How to Bless Your Neighbor, and it's the acronym was, you know, the word bless, you know, be in prayer, listen, eat, serve your neighbor, and then out of all that, you get a chance to tell your story. But again, going back to what we just looked at, the idea that we've got to be able to help people come and then realize, you know, come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, not just out of our testimony, and then, you know, what do we do with that? And so it's just a shame that, and, you know, that we come to a place that, and that's been difficult in our context. We've lost people, you know, over the years because we haven't stayed the same. You know, when I rolled the TV in, you know,
right.
to teach from, and I didn't even want to bring it in. It was actually our youth went to a conference on how to share the gospel from Dare to Share, and they wanted to share some videos. And so we went and rented a TV to use in the sanctuary, a very traditional sanctuary. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, let's just buy one. And because people began to understand the visual element, so you can use movie clips, and it changes the whole game. But for people who are traditionally oriented, it's like, well, that's not supposed to be there. And it's like, well, walk with me in this. Mm. You know, and so the simplicity of faith that the blind man has, I don't know all the details. I just know that now I can see, and he comes into a deeper relationship with Jesus and changed everything. But we always want to make it a system and a process. And
yes.
You know, and it struggles.
Well, let me then ask, I guess, the next question on this in the post-pandemic church. We are then, I'm guessing, based on your answer, going to see everything back in play when it comes to church. We are going to see the traditional model of church put back into play by many people who are going to be gathering again. They're going to be gathering just the way they always have, Sunday by Sunday, year by year, decade by decade.
Right.
We're going to see churches that are going to have kind of both. They're going to gather physically in their space, but they're going to keep using the technology that they've acquired in the last 15 months. And then there may be churches that may have their meetings take place somewhere other than what they're used to, in a different type of format and a different type of sharing of the gospel and sending people out than they ever have before.
Right, and I think those churches that you want to just, I mean, look at the mess, you know, Cedar Point's a great example. I mean, they opened back up, right?
They did.
And it's complicated, right?
It is now.
And it's going to continue to be so because we want things to be what it was. And if anything within the church, if a church isn't paying attention to the digital element, you know, that really I think most churches now, I've become a digital church.
More or less, yes.
And I've done that out of necessity. We weren't online before the pandemic,
and
we moved. And why did I do that? Well, you know, what's the beauty of that is all of a sudden now I've been able to connect with people who grew up in this church. I got my friend Jim, who lives in St. Louis, who's 85 years old, who is so excited that we now have a YouTube channel and he can watch us. You know, it's a replay. It's simulated. And it's not all the trappings that we normally have in the building on Sunday, but he feels now connected.
How long ago was he last at Linden Road?
52 years ago.
Wow.
And it's been a joy for him. And I talk to him every couple of weeks, and he's just, he's in a season of life. He says, I'm just so glad to have this because it was so pivotal to who I am as a person. And I've got a good church here, and I'm supporting it.
Right.
But he's just, you know, really an encourager to, you know, keep going in this new way. Or his sister, who lives in Southern California. Again, grew up in the church as a young person and the connection they have. And I think it's those elements we have to think through. And it breaks my heart to see a church that has the deep ties like this church in Stark County to have to close its doors. And it just means that we're reluctant to take on the new. And I get that, you know, because change is not easy. But at the same time, you know, if we're talking about the next generation, which is what we ought to be talking about.
True.
Not about my comfort level, right? So Rick Warren in Purpose Driven Life says, first line, first paragraph is, it's not about you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so once you've met Jesus and you've come to know him, then the question is, how do you, I mean, really, what is faith all about? It's one baker helping another baker find bread. Well, if I found the bread, I need to go out and, you know, bring someone else along with me. And I think we build these things and then we get safe and secure. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. You know, look at this guy's life we just looked at.
Yes. Right.
It was a total toss-up. I'm going to guess after, you know, we move on, if we could, you know, get some storyline of what was his life like the next couple of days. I mean, it's just beautiful. And the rest of his life.
Right. Once Jesus had been crucified, died, risen again, and then ascended into heaven. Yeah.
Right.
Tom, thanks for the time again.
Thanks, Mark.
We really appreciate it. Could you pray for our churches as we move into...
Sure.
I know we're double-dipping on prayer here hour. It's always all right when we're communicating with the one in heaven. But for all these churches, just asking the Lord, no matter what they're going to try, to make sure that we're trying to do it to bring people to the throne of grace.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Jesus, we're grateful for your life, and so this morning we do pray. I pray for my fellow pastors and church leaders all across the globe, literally, as we think about what this next season looks like. We know the story you've invited us into, and we know the privilege we've gotten in our own lives to share our stories, but give us boldness to, as we come up on Pentecost Sunday, to be reminded what that early church looked like. Thank you for your promises, and pray that we're not in the way. Pray that it's not you know, that we're not the roadblock. But, you know, allow your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, and not let us be afraid of the things that we need to think about in new ways. Just thank you for the privilege, and thank you for this ministry here and the good work that they're doing to help stretch and encourage us. But thank you, Jesus, for your love, and we pray your blessing now in your name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Tom Repke, as always, appreciate you.
Grateful to be here. Thanks, Mark.
And we are also appreciative of the coffee cake ministry of your wife, Melinda, once again.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Married up.
Ryan Nicholson is back with us today. Thanks, Ryan, for showing up. I'm glad. I like it when people show up unannounced.
It was wonderful to be along for the study.
Yeah, that's great. And keep Ryan in mind with his ministry at Destiny Rescue. People need to find out more about Destiny Rescue. Ryan, how do they do it?
DestinyRescue.org.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Blessings.
Time coming up on 8 o'clock. Town Hall News is just 1 minute away here on Heartfelt Radio 91.9. By the way, tomorrow, 7:30, our pal Andre is going to be on with us live. We're going to talk about a lot of interesting stuff. tomorrow with our friend Andre Bernier. And then working on something for Friday I think you'll like a lot too. Town Hall News coming right up here on Mornings with Mark and Gabe. Thanks for being there.
WKJA Brunswick, North Canton, Massillon, 91.9 FM, or listen with Amazon's Alexa. Just say, Alexa, open Heartfelt Radio.